Over the weekend, Paul Wolfowitz, the current head of the World Bank and former Assistant Secretary of Defense, paid a visit to Turkey, and before entering a mosque in the western part of the country, he removed his shoes, as it's customary to do. Unfortunately, the socks he wore that day had worn through. His toes were showing. And as Mr. Wolfowitz slipped back into his shoes, the usual gaggle of press photographers captured images with his two big toes sticking out of a dark pair of socks. As you can imagine, the photos popped up in news outlets from Turkey to Sydney to Chicago. Of course, public embarrassment is not specific to government officials. Have you ever been caught in public with your pants down, so to speak? How did you respond? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can email your embarrassing public moments to us at talk@npr.org. To help us through this, we've brought in a damage control expert. Eric Desenhall is CEO of Desenhall Resources, a crisis management firm here in Washington, D.C. He's joined us here in Studio 3A. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And if Paul Wolfowitz came to you and said, Eric, I've got this terrible PR problem, what do I do?
Well, this, of course, is a crisis of profound gravity.
And, absolutely,
yeah. We don't want to take this lightly. I think the first thing I would tell him is one of the greatest myths is the myth of the image makeover. People like to talk about image makeovers and believe that redemption can be achieved through spin. I don't think so. So what I think he has to do to some degree is go with it. Don't deny it. Embrace it.
Well, here's an email we got from Raynette. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I wanted to remind listeners of Adlai Stevenson being photographed with a hole in his shoe. Mr. Stevenson was campaigning for the presidency in 1952 when Mr. Gallagher, my uncle, caught his photograph. The photograph did not help Mr. Stevenson win the presidency, but it did earn my uncle a 1953 Pulitzer Prize. Mr. Stevenson signed the photograph for my uncle with to William Gallagher from a candidate who was really not holier than thou. That's a famous picture of Adlai.
Well, you know, for everybody who does a gaffe like that, they have to remember that the chances of redeeming themselves from it are rather slim. I mean, there's the famous episode of Nixon trying to be more Kennedy-esque and walking on the beach with his wingtip shoes. So just because you make a gaffe, it doesn't necessarily mean there is a public relations counter to it. And to some degree, some of the biggest problems have happened when someone tries to be something they're not. I mean, Al Gore was so overly messaged during the last campaign that he wasn't himself.
That was the campaign before last, but they all
blur
together.
I'm sorry, yes.
That's okay. These are, you know, we tend to think of public figures, obviously, because we see all of them. They're so well chronicled. The first President Bush having stomach problems and throwing up while at a state dinner with the Japanese.
Yeah, it all comes down to 5-year-old humor at the end of the day, and I think that we all
we all
relate to that. I mean, just to this day, you know, you see pictures of LBJ showing his scar. I mean, we like to see that these people are human. We like to be reminded that they're not superior to us, that they do the same things that we do.
This is another email. This from Jennifer. A group of us went to the local jazz club. After returning from the bathroom, a friend pointed out something white at the bottom of my pant leg. I thought I had toilet paper stuck to the bottom of my shoe. I tugged on it, pulled it out, and held it high to see in the dim light and realized it was a pair of boxer shorts, mine. They must have been stuck there from the laundry.
Well, I don't know that there's great public relations advice for that. A similar incident was several weeks ago when Britney Spears climbed out of a car without underwear. And my advice when I was asked about it is that she wear underwear.
That's usually I think her mother probably would have said the same thing. Let's even get some listeners involved in the conversation. Eric Desenhall is our guest. We're talking about public embarrassments. Have you ever suffered any? 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. And this is Audrey. Audrey's with us from Warsaw, Indiana.
Hi.
Hi. What's your, what are you going to confess to us today, Audrey?
Oh, gee. We had just moved to Indiana from New York State, and my husband took the day off, and we went and ran a whole bunch of errands, including taking the cat to the vets, and I asked them if they were hiring, and they said yes. So I sat and I talked to them, and they told me that I had a job. And when we got back home, my husband looked at me and said, do you know that your shirt's on inside out? So that's kind of the catchphrase now. He looks at me every now and then and goes, do you have a job interview? Your shirt's on inside out.
But you got the job anyway.
Yes, I did.
And do you wear your shirt inside out to work every day?
No, I ended up having to wear scrubs, thank goodness.
Ah.
I think it's relatively easy to redeem yourself from something like that. I think what's harder is with if a gaffe is perceived to have revealed your soul. I think Wolfowitz's gaffe may reveal more about him and his priorities. And when something seems to be symbolic, it's harder to get out of.
I can't resist it. It revealed his toes, not his soul.
That is technically correct.
Thank you very much for the call, Audrey, and I'll try your trick if next time I have a job interview.
Pardon?
I'll try your trick next time I have a job interview.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. We're speaking with Eric Dezenhall, CEO of Dezenhall Resources, a crisis management firm here in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And let's get John on the line. John's calling from Iowa.
Hey, Neil, you're reaching all kinds of new lows to get me to call in, huh?
We'll do anything.
I'm a preacher, small church all my life. In the middle of my sermon, everybody started laughing. I looked around, couldn't find out why. Here comes this note that was passed all the way from the back to the front, and finally my wife chuckled and brought the note up to me. The note said, John's tie is caught in his zipper. And then I looked down, and then immediately he turned around. Everybody's laughing, and that was it. And to this day, I don't know who sent the note.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no big deal. You just laugh and go on.
That's probably, denial will get you nothing but trouble. Isn't that right, Eric Dezenhall?
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, it reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Jerry's woman he's seeing thinks she catches him picking his nose, and he spends the rest of the episode trying to deny it, which only digs him in deeper.
So to speak.
That's right. And he finally has to give the speech from the Elephant Man to try to redeem himself, and it didn't work.
Well, it could have been the puffy shirt. That would have been even worse. But I have to say, John, the tie caught in the zipper, isn't that why we have pulpits you can hide behind?
Oh, some people use them. I'm out in front. I like to show it all.
Well, might want to rethink that.
No problem. Just remember, I'll never use tie and fly in the same sentence again.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go to Ed. Ed's with us from Michigan.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
I manage real estate, and being not terribly overage yet, I have come to rely on computers and a little bit dyslexic. And one morning I was typing a note telling our residents that we were going to be recarpeting hallways, etc., and we apologized for any inconvenience while the work was doing. Unfortunately, it left my glasses at home, it trusted spell check, and instead of inconvenience, ended up with incontinence.
You spelled it right, though.
Yeah, well, spell check, gives you a chance to just click and say okay. And without my glasses, incontinence and inconvenience look terribly the same.
Well, there are some important differences, but nevertheless. Ed, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I wonder, Eric Dezenhall, these are wonderful stories, but do you recall one of a public figure who couldn't recover from it? Maybe anybody?
Well, I think that they're more serious gaffes. I mean, I think that something this minor, I think, is easy to recover from.
Sure.
Because it's not associated with a moral weakness. I think, though, that off-the-cuff remarks, I mean, George Allen has seen how these things live
the
on.
Now former senator from Virginia.
Correct. And, I look at something, a comic figure like Michael Richards of Seinfeld, when he made his remark a few weeks ago that was picked up by a cell phone. In the internet age, it's harder and harder to get out of these situations because your original sin lives on.
And it's not only on. Somebody was there with a cell phone. They recorded it, and it's going to show up on YouTube.
That's right. There's no way to knock it out.
Here's an email from Anne in Eugene, Oregon. I was in a job interview in Seattle. The office manager excused herself during the interview to take a phone call. As she left the room, she graciously said, "You might want to clean that off your shoe. I had stepped in dog doo. It wasn't under my shoe. A blob of it was on the top of the toe of my high heels. I was so nervous, I hadn't seen it or smelled it. I got the job." Here's another email, this one from Shoshana in Wilson, North Carolina. "When I was in college, I wore thigh-high hose until the day that the elastic decided to let go when I was walking in front of the dining hall. My hose fell below my skirt as I frantically tried to keep them from falling all the way to the ground. My friends were laughing. The women's dean of students was looking at me very strangely, and I was very red in the face. My cure, never, ever wear thigh-high hose ever again."
Good advice. And I think that a lot of forgiveness comes down to whether or not the public can relate to your gaffe. If we think it can happen to us, we forgive. If we think it's beyond the pale, we can't.
Let's go with one final call. This is Sharon. Sharon with us from Tracy, California.
Hi.
Hi.
I was an inexperienced airplane flyer, so I decided I had to finally use the facilities. And when I came out of the restroom back to my seat, I felt like I was being followed. And everyone was just laughing. And I felt back and realized that the seat cover was hanging out the back of my pants.
The paper seat cover?
The paper seat cover. I had no idea. So I just threw up my hands, went, oh, well, I'll never see these people again. Went back to the restroom, disposed of it, and came back to my seat. My husband said, what did you do? Well, I just figure I gave people laugh for quite a while.
Eric Desenhall, laugh and the world laughs with you.
That's right. At least you didn't attempt to transfer blame. It's sort of like when people trip, they always look down at the ground as if it's the ground's fault. You didn't do that.
No.
Sharon, happy flying.
Thank you. Same to you.
And Eric Desenhall, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate your willingness to kid along with us.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Desenhall is CEO of Desenhall Resources, a crisis management firm in Washington. He's also the author of a new novel, Spinning Dixie, and he joined us here today in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.